So if you do have a question, which we want to take as many questions as possible, just wait for Megan to make her way to you, and that way we can get the question on the recording and that everybody can hear the question being asked. But with that, let's give a big hand for these guys and the time they spent. Also, we want to thank Rob and Sarah for coming and leading worship. And Jeremy for providing us with so many jokes. Okay, guys. Any questions about the study so far, the four studies that we've heard? Maybe it's raised a question in your mind, or maybe you're confused about something, or it's possible that you would just like some elaboration. Anybody at all? Yes, we have a question up here on the second row.
Here comes the mic.
You need to turn your mic. So if you have a question for a specific person or...
Well, I have a question regarding the encouragement session. So... we talked about how we wanted to make sure that our conversations with our spouses were mostly positive, you know, not complaining. And one of the things that we find in our marriage is that, you know, we gripe about work. And, you know, and I know that there's things that we can counteract, you know, ways that we can make that conversation better. But I think also, like, isn't some form of venting also healthy for a marriage? I mean, just to allow that person to just express their feelings, not so much that they want to fix, but they just want to be heard.
I just want some qualification or clarification. Are you talking about venting about the other person or venting about what they're going through?
Venting about what they're going through.
Okay. You want to pass the mic down to
the encouragers?
The encouragers.
I think that, I think that there is a place for, you know, you're trusting your spouse. You come home and something happened at work, and maybe it's a continual thing that's going on at work or wherever it's at, and you come home and to the safety of your home, and you're talking to your wife or your husband about the things that happened at work. But and that's good. I mean, but what's the ultimate purpose, you know, what do you want to happen? Do you just want to just vent and get it all out and that kind of thing? I think one of the things that we should all ask ourselves is, you know, I'm venting right now, but what is it producing? And at the end of the vent, whatever it is there something that's productive that happens then? You know, are we sitting down and let's pray about it. Let's go to the Lord about this. Let's talk. Let's find something in the Word that talks about, you know, how to deal with a boss or a fellow coworker or something like that. Something that's productive, as opposed to just, you know, you're upset, you're angry, and then you just leave it at that, and then your spouse kind of has to, like, okay, well, now what do I do with that? But if you go and, you know, bring it before the Lord, then you've actually done something. You've vented, and now you've done something that was actually productive at the end of it, too. So, anyway.
I think it's good to have some ground rules with that in the marriage. You know, if you're going to share about what you're going through, that you make an agreement with your spouse, that if you're going to share those kinds of things, that you open yourself up to not only receive prayer, but also maybe a little bit of encouragement and instruction. And just as a side note, I mean, I was on this church staff for years and would go home all the time and tell Kendra about this guy that I worked with that was just drove me crazy and, like, messed with me. And
you're talking about Darren Brock?
No. That was the other guy. He made, you know, tapes of me singing songs over the radio and then produced an album and gave it to everybody and just really tortured me. And, you know, she prayed for me. And then God got us to go start a church somewhere else. And now he's down there at the other end of the thing.
I think I just want to add a brief thing here. One of the ways that I would challenge myself in that situation is, you know, I want to speak the truth, but then I also sometimes I want that truth to change. So like, yeah, this is true. I had a hard day. Yeah, this is true. This person was on my case or whatever. But what else is true about it that I could speak that truth also? So, you know, it's like, am I seeing the full picture? Am I only seeing it my way? Where's an area in this that's challenging me to bring the Lord into the situation? You know what I'm saying? And so it's kind of cool if we challenge ourselves in that place of frustration. And, you know, because if we're doing the same, you know, thing over and over, you know, obviously, you know, there's something that the Lord wants to change within that situation. So I'm all for the truth, but I also want that truth to change and be a higher truth than what I'm seeing in it. So,
yeah. And I have one thing to that, add to that too, is I think it's very easy for us to take our cues from culture. So culture tells us venting is a part of what you do. I just don't know if biblically that's true. You know, and what I see venting in the Bible, but it's to the Lord. I mean, you read the Psalms. The Psalms are a lot of the psalmist venting. You know, he's frustrated. And then scriptures talk about how I pour out my complaint to the Lord. So the Lord can take all your baggage. You know, the Lord can take all that stuff. And you see in the Psalms, what happens so often is a guy will be totally bent out of shape. And then as he gets through, he kind of gets his eyes back on the Lord. And then by the end, there's resolution of like, oh yeah, you're God and you can work these things out. So I think that it's really important for us because we can do that. We view venting sometimes as like sharing what's going on in our lives, but then it's just a lot of mess for our spouse to kind of clean up or to try to fix something with. And so it seems like if we did more of our venting toward the Lord, that might be a more productive place. You know, is he can handle it. And then as we're spending that time with him, he can transform our hearts and kind of help us to see what's going on in the situation.
Anybody else want to comment on this? Feel like you got what you needed out of that? Does that help?
Did you want to vent
a little bit right now about oh well yeah well you got 15 minutes then
yeah
you bet. Questions? All right, well, we're done. Good job, guys. Oh, we actually do have a question right here. Go for it.
The seminar has been wonderful, but in a lot of cases, it doesn't, I don't want to sound weird, but it doesn't apply to us in that he's gone Monday through Friday. So we basically have a weekend marriage. So how do we as a couple that really only have Saturdays and part of Sundays, manage our time together? A lot of times, you know, he's gone all week, so he's driving all week, and he's thinking about all of the things he has to do when he gets home on Saturday. And then Saturday comes, and it's a blur. I remember somebody was talking about the blur. I'm there.
Probably Brenda.
And then Sunday comes, we go to church, and we want to fellowship more with Pastor John and Kenda and all the people in the church. But we find ourselves, he's got to be on the road on Sunday afternoon most times. So how do you, and obviously there's going to be a lot more to this, possibly even, you know, getting together with you guys and kind of walking through it. But just off the cuff, what would be your suggestion? Just how do we pray together? How do we have more devotional together? And really try to figure out in this situation, which is temporary, we understand it's temporary, but how do we manage our time with the limited time we have?
Yeah. And I can't quit my job.
It was that video, that extreme time management.
On top of that, my mother and father, we're taking care of my parents. On top of that, so I work from home, which is very convenient because I don't have to go out and work, so I can tend to the house while he's gone. But usually, everything falls on me when, you know, the dog, you know, has to go to the vet when he's gone. Or in Colorado, it used to be 18 inches of snow and I'd have to shovel while he was gone kind of thing. So, you know, this makes for an interesting, you know, we've managed, but I'm just wondering what your take is on it.
I have something for you real quick. When Aaron and I were engaged, he was in Italy almost the entire year, and I was in California. And we saw each other like 3 times, I think, that whole year, our whole engagement before we were married. But the Lord allowed us to build our relationship. We met in person. We didn't meet online. But we built our relationship really through email. We would email each other every day. And I mean, this was, you know, 17 years ago, so there's more up-to-date things. I mean, like Skype and things like that, where you guys can pray together. Even though he's far away, you can still pray together. And if you can't get at the same time, I would really encourage even just writing it out, like a text or an email or something, and go back and forth like that. And then on the weekend, you're coming together and there's not this gap of this time that was missed together, because you're filling each other in on your days. I mean, that's what our emails were. I have this like binder of our emails from when he was gone. But, you know, you're filling each other in. This is what we did. This is what happened. This is what happened with our kids or our dog or whatever is going on at your work. You know, fill each other in so you're not a stranger in a sense when you come together again.
We do talk every day. So, I mean, thank God for phones.
Right. Well, then you have the opportunity to pray or to read together, or at least to share with each other what the Lord is showing you. Does that make sense? Does that, okay.
That was good.
I definitely think that there's a need for, you know, your pastor and his wife to sit down with you guys and, you know, really dig into all of this. And, you know, I can't help but to think back to, you know, the study that Brenda and I taught on, you know, the question of priorities. Is there a reprioritizing here? I recognize you're saying you can't quit your job, you know. But then, so, you know, it does become a question of, right, how do we, you know, adjust our priorities? You know, are there, you know, ways to, you know, change your job to something else? Or is there a way to, you know, all that just to say that your relationship with your pastor is crucial, because there's so much to dig into that giving a quick answer right now to such a huge question, you know, there's a lot more to it. So just encourage you to, I guess John's your pastor, so there's absolutely no hope for you guys.
Yeah. Start making me talk about neck tattoos.
But thank God for like Skype and, you know, Brenda and I, you know, she gets up earlier than I do. She's, you know, taking care of the kids here at the daycare. And, you know, I get up a little bit later than her, so we miss each other in the mornings. But when I'm done with my devotion, you know, I typically send her a text, you know, with the verse for my devotion that, you know, really spoke to me. So I do that every day. And, you know, at the end of the day, we pray together and just encourage each other as we can. So, you know, the problem throughout the week isn't extremely uncommon, even when you're in the same house together, right?
Right, exactly.
You know, because there's lots of couples who live in the same house together, but their schedules are so different that, you know, they can almost miss each other to a certain degree. So I think that your pastor and his wife can help you to develop some new disciplines to make that, you know, relationship more established.
We talk a lot, and we do go deep, you know, so I mean, that's
good.
You know, that our marriage is for us being apart.
Awesome.
We actually have a really good communication skills, and it's just mainly our time management right now, because you know, one day a week, but it's good.
So at that point, I mean, it is a matter of literally cutting everything out of your life that isn't from God. Right. So, you know, what you're saying is that, well, this job is from God. This job is, you know, part of his will for you, and taking care of mom and dad is part of God's will for you. Right. But are there other things that, you know, consume your weekend that really doesn't need to be there and is taking up time that you guys could be doing something else. So, yeah. We got one right over here, and then we'll come back. Who was it over here? Yeah.
So my question, being we're both rather new Christians, I guess it kind of started when we started trying to read the Bible together. And of course, we come across this famous line from Ephesians, wives, submit to your husbands. It started an argument, and it's pretty much put a block in our way. And I don't know if it's as much for him as it is for me, but how do we come to a point where we're ready to come together? I mean, we're both praying separately. We both have our separate times with God. But when and how do we start to come together with that?
None of us know. We don't know. We're all clueless up here.
All right, since I'm the only one that spoke on submission. I'll
there you
that.
Go, yeah.
I mean, I think it's like the Nike quote, right? Just do it. Like, it's never going to feel good. It's never going to feel like the right time. Like, oh, let's try and unite these two walks, right? I think it's a choice. It's a willful choice. I mean, and I think, too, doing some study on what biblical submission is, if that's something that really kind of caused the divide, because there's really good resources out there, to kind of help you see that. And it's really been something that has drastically shifted in our relationship, you know, over the last 20 years is my understanding. And I used to, I mean, when we got together, I was a very, I'll do it myself. I wasn't going to get married. I wasn't going to have kids. I was going to, you know, all these things.
She always drove.
It's
everything.
You know, all that. I mean, and really kind of a rebellious heart about it. And it was really more out of a lack of understanding. And I really see now, I mean, man, I am relieved. I am relieved I don't have to be the one to make all the decisions and to do all those things and to, you know what I mean? It's just like, it's a freeing place. I wouldn't want the other place. But that didn't go, I didn't learn that in one day. I didn't learn that by reading one scripture or whatever. I mean, it's a continual work the Lord does. But yeah, so I mean, afterwards, if you're interested in some resources, I could point you in some directions of some there. But as far as like bringing your two walks together, it's a matter of choosing to do it. And I would encourage you as a husband, I mean, you've got to take the lead on that. I mean, that definitely falls in your role to, like, right? Guys?
Whatever Brenda says, I'm good with, you know?
Yeah. So. Yeah. And then again, and you know, and not to beat the drum again, but just this whole idea of submission is like where, from my perspective, where ladies get bent out of shape about it, it's because of the culture. It's yes. Not because of anything else. It's that the culture says these things. And so, you know, and you look at even how stuff has shifted such dramatically, even in my own lifetime, it's like, has the Bible changed? You know, it hasn't. Mm. It's that the culture has shifted. And all of a sudden, we start reading the Bible through the lens of culture, and we try to make it fit whatever our culture says, and it just ends up being problems. And so for all of us, so there's always going to be something in the Bible that goes against how we want to do things, whether you're male or whether you're female, how you feel. And so, yeah, there's great power in even saying to the Lord, hey, I disagree with you, but I'm going to do it because I'm going to obey you. And I think there's great power to that of just saying, I don't necessarily agree with this, but don't understand it. I'm just going to do it. I mean, because that's what I tell my kids all the time. My kids aren't submitting to me when they get in the car when I say we're going to Baskin Robbins. I mean, because that's something they already want to do. But when it's time to, hey, go clean your room, do this thing. We're like, well, I don't understand why dad cares that my room's clean, but I'm going to do it because he's my dad. And then what they find out years later is those disciplines actually help them in life. And so I think for us is just, well, this is what the Lord says to do, and I'm just going to do it because he's the Lord.
Yeah. There is great power there. And with great power.
Great responsibility. Yes, of course it does.
Kendall.
Thanks, Uncle Ben.
I also think that it's one of those things that just takes practice.
Yeah.
You know, because we've done it our way our whole life, and then now God says, hey, let's scratch that out. Let's do it this way. And we're like, huh? And so, I mean, for me, I was like, I'm never going to submit to any man and, you know, all that stuff, you know? And I always thought, you know, what man is going to dominate me? Like, that's the way I saw it. You know, I'm not going to be dominated, you know? But John is really gentle. And so there's like, I'm like, oh, like, we're not arm wrestling here. You know, like...
Because John would lose.
Okay, but anyway, you know, it's like he was, like, serving me and wanting my best, so it was easy for me to submit to that, you know, because he wasn't trying to dominate me. And so I was like, oh, okay. And, but then, you know, the other thing, too, is that they're accountable to God for their household, you know? So it's like, if, you know, if there's something coming swinging this way, yeah, I want to duck. It's going to hit him because, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the God's accountability. God's coming with that, you know, 2x4. Hey, well, I'm not the one that's going to get it. He is.
When did God become like Hacksaw Jim Duggan?
I'm sorry. I'm very, yeah, violent. Okay, like, you know what I'm saying? But if I got my head stuck up, you know, this way, above, you know what I'm saying? Well, I'm going to get... So that's what she was saying. It's very freeing to not be the one in charge, not be the one that's held accountable for the family and stuff, so...
Yeah, and you know, one of the things that I would say to you guys is that praise God that you're saved. Because we knew you guys before you were saved, so you gotten saved, but, you know, the Lord is working on you guys, right? And what's cool about that is, you know, a lot of people think the measure of maturity as a Christian is knowing all the apologetic answers, is being able to sound like Ravi Zacharias and, you know...
Like an Indian man?
Even with an Indian accent.
Yeah.
They think that, you know, the measure of maturity is somehow a lot of knowledge. But let me just tell you, I've said this at our church and I'll say this again here. The measure of maturity is love. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, right? So as you grow in love, it's going to grease the gears, make it a little bit easier for you guys, for you to inspire her and for her to follow you. Your love for her will inspire her to follow you. And as that love grows in your life, as you grow in love, that'll work. But you still have to practice and make the right choices. And so it's a process. And it's not easy. You know... Recently, Kenda is almost a black belt now in Kung Fu. So if I say anything wrong, I'm in danger of having like a broken limb or some sort of bruise on my face. So not, I'm kidding.
Let's talk
I'm
more about these though. Greasy ears. What's going on?
I think it's about time for you to get the hearing aid we talked about. What? Brenda can only talk so loud for so long. I think it's the acoustics of your head that somehow reflects sound waves. Doesn't allow anything to go in.
We've gone far.
And because of your beard, it's being absorbed.
This guy in the red plaid shirt.
So, question.
Before we move on, let me just point out. I think that there's two issues that you raise, and you know, I always think in categories. You know, it helps me to separate things out. You know, whereas, you know, I think that men tend to think. You know, in little, you know, sections, and women, it's all tied together, you know, and so, you know, everything's just one big long string that's all tied together, and I like to take things and compartmentalize them so that I can think about this thing, and then think about this thing, and then see if they even snap together like a Lego, right? So, there's the one question about doing devotions together, right? That might not be a problem that needs to be solved, right? Like, Brenda and I do our devotion separately. You know, I want her to have her own relationship with the Lord. And I want my own relationship with the Lord. I want to be able to know that when the Lord's telling me something, that he's talking to her individually to confirm it, you know, or not. And if our devotion life is so tied together that she's not hearing from the Lord for herself, then all of a sudden she's no longer that checks and balances in our relationship, right? So I'm not saying that we don't ever read the Bible together, you know, but more often than not, she does her devotion, I do my devotion. I share with her, you know, what I got out of mine. And I know that she's extremely blessed by that. But I
agree to disagree.
I've heard it both ways. Yeah. But so I would just say, you know, that might be something that is not an issue that needs to be solved, right? So having your own individual devotional time, study time, all that, I think that's great, wonderful. The submission part of it, though, I would just say, I would ask, you know, are you having difficulty submitting to the Lord? Mm. Right? And I think that's a real indicator. Well, I mean, I see you saying no out there, you know, but biblically, your submission to your husband is a direct reflection of your submission to the Lord. Because it says, submit unto your husband as to the Lord, right? And so I recognize in theory, it's easy to say, I'm completely submitted to the Lord, right? But then, you know, if there's not submission to the husband, can you actually say that there's submission to the Lord when the Lord told you to submit to your husband? Submission to the Lord is proven by your submission to your husband. Because he's the one that said, submit to your husband, right? And so I would just challenge you on that level just to say, hey, you know, check your own heart and make sure that you're truly walking in submission to the Lord. The proof of the pudding is seen in the relationship that you have with your husband. And as I believe Steve was pointing out, that text says, you know, to do this regardless of whether he's, you know, the shining example of the Lord or not, right? So, but then at the same time, recognizing that we're not talking about that 50s men's mentality of woman, get them shoes off and get in the kitchen, fix me, you know, turkey pot pie and that kind of, we're not talking about that kind of submission. We're not talking about the submissiveness that, you know, a child is to give to their parent. And that's how a lot of people want to interpret that text. They want to equate the submission of the child to the parent to the wife to the husband, right? They want to say that that's synonymous, and it's not. As a matter of fact, if you go to Colossians and look at the similar texts, there's actually verses about children, you know, obeying their parents, and that word obey is not the same word as the word submit as to the wife to the husband, right? That word obey and that word submit, two different words. That word submit simply means yielding cooperation. And if you go back to Ephesians, you'll see that all Christians are called to submit to one another. And then the qualification for the marital relationship is that women are then to submit to their own husbands, meaning that in the context of the church, we're all supposed to be yielding in cooperation with one another. But then when it gets down to the familial relationships within the church, the wife is not to submit to some other guy, but to her own husband in that yielded cooperation. Does that help a little bit? Awesome. So we've got another question over here. For the brother of the would-be winner of every gift given away today.
I got two questions.
Yes.
First, for Aaron and Becky, can you give us an example when a fervent action was done in obedience to God because it was the right thing to do? With the interpretation of the word, which means stretch.
Could you repeat the question?
Can you give an example when a fervent action was done in obedience to God because it was the right thing to do? Great. With the interpretation of the word in Greek, which means
fervent
stretch.
Stretching. That's a good question.
So when have you ever done that?
When has that ever happened in real life? Where you actually had to, I think it was when I had to start cleaning the bathrooms.
The buildup so horrible.
I mean, when I chose to, No, I'm just kidding. I think that's when it comes to submitting to one another in the Lord, it takes that fervent love, you know. It takes that stretching love, you know, that love that goes way beyond who you are. And I'll have to be honest, it wasn't something that I wanted to do necessarily, and early in our marriage, I looked and I said, well, these are the things that I grew up seeing with my parents. You know, my mom did this, you know, and my dad did this, and it was all very you know, this is just the way it is, you know. My mom cooked, my mom cleaned, my mom did this, my mom even did my laundry for me, you know, all of that stuff. And so I was bringing that into my marriage with Becky, and it was just, she's a different person than my mom is. And so it really took that stretching in my life and that love for her to help me to get beyond that, you know, to say, no, well, this isn't happening the way that I wanted it to happen. So what's my choice now? Well, it's to love, and it's this love that really stretches me beyond who I am, you know? And so that's really, I think for me, that was, and still is, where I get stretched the most. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I mean, when I ask that question, I want to make sure that, you know, I get those opportunities and do them the right way as well.
Yeah.
So, and the other question is, you guys did a great job in explaining everything, you know, a lot of edification. But I have one question for each one of you. How does one distinctly wash his wife with the word? I mean, you don't have a pulpit at home and you have her sit down and you know, you explain.
How do you know we don't have that?
I actually do have a pulpit.
Yeah. No, I'll jump in just kind of what I said in the study. You know, to me, it's leading by example. I mean, because that's everything of like when it sounds cliche, but Christ is the example for how we're to live life. And like I find myself whenever I read about Christ in the scriptures, like it's always refreshing to me because I just see there's truth there. And so just seeing how Jesus lived his life and the things that he said and how he treated people, it changes me every time that I read that and it informs how I treat people. And so I find my goal is, and I do this far from perfectly, but I want to, in front of my wife, in front of my kids, at work, to live that Christ-like example, like to live out the word, to be a living example of the word. And then I think that that has effect on people. So I think that washes your wife and your kids with the word because they're seeing it lived out. And so I think that that's why Christ is, you know, he's the living word. So you see what it looks like to just walk in obedience. And so that's what I would say. It's because it's real easy to just to teach a Bible study. It's way different to live a Bible study, you know, to actually walk that thing out. And I think that's what has tremendous impact on people.
I think if I can address the text real quick, just to give you some more context to the verse, that it actually says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he, Christ, might sanctify her.
Right,
that he, Jesus, might sanctify and cleanse her, the church, with the washing of water by the word, right? So I don't mean to suggest that we shouldn't be, you know, leading our wives in the word of God, but the question is based on this verse. This verse is actually about Jesus being the one who washes the church, sanctifies the church with the washing of the water by the word, right? So one way that I engage in that with my own wife is just to make sure that she is in the Word of God, that she is having a devotional life, that you know, and then also, like I said, you know, every day I'm sending her, you know, those verses that impacted my life that day, just to share with her that I'm in the Word and that she knows that I'm seeking that washing of the water as well, right? So the responsibility for every Christian is to be the church who is being sanctified by the washing with the water of the word, and that Jesus is the one who is cleansing all of us. Does that make sense? Yep. Anybody else want to share on how...
I know for me, I'm not a husband who washes his wife with the word, but as far as being the wife, I think it's important to allow yourself, like with the Lord, we essentially allow him to cleanse us. We're not putting up these walls. We're not refusing his correction in our life. And I think as the wife too, it's important to be open to biblical instruction from your husband. Because like we were saying, like you become so comfortable in your relationship, you forget that there's these separate roles that you're supposed to take and you just kind of just go on with your life. But yet God has called us to such distinct roles as a husband and as a wife that the wife is to go to her husband and ask questions about the Bible, when, you know, to give him even opportunity to go study it for himself if he doesn't know the answer and find it for us. It's the husband's responsibility to find answers for his wife, whether he needs to go and dig in the word himself, if he can't find it, to go to his pastor and ask or something. But as the wife, it's important to go to your husband and say, you know, I don't understand what this means. What do you think? And then, often he'll be going through his study and stuff for the week and getting ready for Sunday mornings, and he'll say, hey, look at what this says. Isn't that cool? And he'll share with me some of the little nuggets that the Lord's giving him as he gets ready for his study or as he's just going through his devotions. And as a wife, listening to that and taking that to heart and seeing how I can apply it to my life. And I think that's just a practical way of being washed as a wife. I mean, that's our responsibility, to be open to that.
And just also something just real quick, you know, also creating opportunities for discipleship for your wife, making, you know, hey, you know, encouraging them to get in the ladies' Bible study or going to conferences. You know, obviously, you know, you're working, maybe she's working too, I don't know, but, you know, providing that money, hey, look, I'm going to pay for your conference and I'm going to watch the kids too while you're gone. And then when you come back, the whole house is going to be clean too. You know, I mean, that's the way to do it.
Okay.
Central theme.
Because honestly, that's the way John does it. And I have ladies that go to the conference and they're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be going back home. I'm going to be walking into the zoo. You know, and
literally,
it's a source of anxiety for them because they know that, yeah, the kids are still alive, but like, what happened here? You know? And so, I mean, John has, you know, the whole house clean, you know, everything all squared away. So whenever I walk in, it's not like, oh, I'm sorry, I went to the conference now, you know?
I just want to say that I got that idea from Joe Marquez. You know, get on the ball, get the house clean, guys.
Joe, take a
Come
victory
on.
Lap, man.
Being slacker.
Just take a victory lap around.
No, actually, Joe confirmed that. But I watched that over the years, that guys would take care of stuff. And that's a good way to encourage. You know, one thing I want to say, that one of the coolest things, and this may sound strange, but I think to encourage your wife to get in the Word and to grow is to teach it. You know, a lot of times as you become a student of the Word and then you have to teach it, you learn it better than if you just studied it, because you got to share it. So, you know, Kendra's been teaching a high school girls Bible study and it's been awesome for those girls, but I've seen her really, you know, just kind of light up because it's really been good for her too. So sometimes it's even, you know, taking a responsibility on that, you know, for her, has been teaching these girls, she's really gotten a lot out of it.
If Ken has been lighting up, I mean, we need to deal with that.
No, no. You need to get that hearing aid again. Remember we were talking about that? Acoustics.
Was that good? You got that? Awesome. We had another question back here. Yeah.
You in the camera?
I'll hold the microphone away from me so it's not too loud. Y'all kind of touched on a lot of it, kind of answered my question as I was going, but maybe somebody else could have the answer or the question answered. On the topic of a wife submitting to their husband, but the reverse side of that, the responsibility of the husband. So some practical things for us men to step into that leadership role, instead of just, because like my wife, she's a headstrong person, career person, you know, very...
Could you explain headstrong? I'm sorry.
Well, she has 2 degrees. She's a nurse. She's an instructor. She reads her Bible. I don't like to read, so that's a problem. So some practical exercise for us men to actually step into that leadership role, right, and fulfill it like we're supposed to.
Sure. Yeah, good question. Yeah. We don't know. Joe, can you get up here and...
No idea. No idea.
Yes. Well, I think, you know, one of the things that we have to recognize again is that it's a yielded cooperation, right? And one of the ways that I've illustrated this before is the four-way yield intersection or the roundabouts. I don't know if you guys have roundabouts now, but, you know, Europeans. But anyway, so... So we've got these roundabouts. I'm just someone's very offended by that. I'm sorry. Are you European? you know, with the crazy cars, you know, steering wheel on the wrong side, haggis and stuff like this. I don't know what's going on over there. But no, seriously, I'm just joking. But the roundabout, you know, is a perfect example of, you know, the yielded cooperation that needs to happen in a marriage, right? When you approach a roundabout or a four-way yield intersection, you know, you have to approach it cautiously and being willing to allow the other car to go through before you, right? Or just gas it like I do, you know? you're just trying to avoid the collision as best as possible, right? And that's a really good picture of marriage, right? Because, you know, every point of disagreement for us is a potential collision. And, you know, I need to be yielded to her opinion as much as she's ready to yield to my opinion, with the scriptures being the final say in both of our lives. So we need to yield in cooperation to what the Bible says, right? So just because I'm the man doesn't mean I'm automatically right. I mean, I am, but but it doesn't mean that, you know. So, you know, when we have a disagreement, you know, I have to be open to the fact that I could be wrong. And that's really tough for a lot of guys, right? And if you disagree with me right now, you're just proving my point, right? So, you know, we think that because it's our opinion that it's automatically right by way of the fact that it's just our opinion, right? And so I wouldn't have this opinion if I were wrong. Right, I would have the right opinion, right? So whatever my opinion is right. And so I can have a hard time thinking that her opinion, which is different from my opinion, could be right because my opinion's right. And so there's the conflict, right? So, you know, yielding in cooperation is just, you know, having that humility of saying, well, maybe I am wrong about this. Maybe you are right about this. Let's open the Bible. Let's yield in cooperation to what the Bible says because it's always going to be right. You know, and then as we approach the scriptures together, you might not know something, you know, before the conversation, but you're going to know it afterwards, right? Because you were willing to take the time to say, let's seek the scriptures together about this. And not only will you allow the Bible then to bring in the truth of the matter so that you can both yield in cooperation together to the scriptures, but then you walk away with a little bit more knowledge about the scriptures, right? Does that help?
And, you know, I would just say, Andy, that one of the things that has really helped me over the years, because I can relate to you. You know, my wife is headstrong, and she's driven, and she's very similar to Jess. I mean, they're very, very similar. And one of the things that I can tell you that helped me tremendously was what Titus talks about, the older teaching the younger. You know, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ, right? So there's always some example that you look to. Because when I was growing as a new Christian, and even in these years, I've been able to look at guys, you know, and just learn from their example and watch how they lead their families. And I've gotten a lot of different ideas from different guys that have really been something that God put his finger on and said, hey, this is something that you should do that will help your family, that will help you lead better and, you know, kind of follow along. But Kenda said it earlier, it has a lot to do with servant leadership. You know, Jesus said, he who is greatest among you will be servant of all. And so if you're serving your wife and you are loving your wife and you have a heart to really want to know the truth and walk in the truth, and you guys can come to some common ground, there's going to be growth and there's going to be inspiration on your part towards her. And that process will naturally start. The problem is that a lot of times people... and it's not a problem. It's just we find ourselves, you know, we've been doing things one way for a long time. We get saved, and then now it's changing. Now there's differences in how we should approach life. And so, you know, it's kind of having to unlearn old habits. And, you know, instead of coming together and, you know, like before you knew the Lord, and it's like whoever has the best argument wins, you know, because that's usually what it was about. And now
you see
it's
how
like,
he rips off all of my material? You see that?
Most of it. But you didn't trademark it, so sorry.
So we've got time for one more question, guys. And we have one? Yes. Thank you, Megan. Let's hear it for Megan.
Okay, my question is it biblical or is it safe to say that, I know we're talking about submission as a wife and the husband's washing the word. Is it also safe to say that a wife can also wash the husband as far as encouragement? I mean, it makes it sound like the wife is just sitting there not really walking right with the Lord, so it has to be the husband's job. But what if both of you are, you know,
walking in the same kind of thing. It's not like, oh, you're more like older and wiser than I am, or you know about the Bible more. Because it, when we started, when we got married, you know, we both grew up in the church. And when we started our Bible study together, we became automatically Bible scholars, and we couldn't agree. You know, we could have said, no, that's not what the Bible's saying. That's not what God said. You know, and it became a hard devotion together that for years we stopped doing devotions together because we didn't agree on that. But is it okay for, hey, what if I was right? And then, but I'm now to submit and just, you know, shut up. He's the pastor of the household, you know, kind of thing.
Yes.
So is it safe to say, or biblical, that we also can have the Holy Spirit as wives?
No, whatever he said was right.
So, automatically.
You guys wanna tackle that?
You got this, Bunchy. Go ahead.
All right, so.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was just going to say, you know, that John has always encouraged me to be inspired by the Holy Spirit and talk about that. So, I mean, he's not like threatened by my walk with the Lord or like by the Holy Spirit. Like, you know, like he talked about, you know, Brenda and him have their own separate thing. And then the Holy Spirit like uses that for confirmation. And so it's like a synergy. It's not like a, oh, you know, this, you know, oh, you're up here and I'm down here or whatever. It, like, it's a teammate. You know, what's the whole point of us being a team for? Well, serving the Lord, you know, building the kingdom of God. We're all individual disciples, you know? And so he paired us up because that was his plan. And he's like, hey, you guys could really work good together if you can work good together, you know? And so the Holy Spirit's the key for that. And so, you know, it's like I was inspired to get this devotional for us, you know, just what was it like last year? And so, you know, it's by our bed and we take turns reading it. I read it. Oh my gosh, you know. Yeah, you know, we take turns reading. Oh, it's your turn to read. I get to sit here and listen, you know? And so we just take turns. But he's like, man, I really love this devotional. It's because the Lord inspired me. He wanted to build that into our marriage. He wasn't threatened by, oh, what's this devotional business, you know? It's like, and we don't always do that. That was just, it was like, it was something that the Lord did. And so we let him do it. And it wasn't, you know, but it's not like I have to say, oh, what's next after this devotional? You know, it's like whatever God's going to do. I don't know.
You know, and I would just say that it has a lot to do with being teachable because, you know, if you're not teachable by anybody, you're going to have a really hard time being teachable by your spouse. You know, it's like you, when you're a teachable person, you look for things around you that the Lord might speak through others. And that's something that you really want to cultivate and encourage in your Christian life, because whenever you're just, you know, I only learn from the pastor or I only learn from this author, it's like, yeah, it's you can learn from a lot. You can learn from kids. You know, you can learn from Bungie. I mean, man, that's amazing. But you can learn, but you know, from anybody. But then in the house, definitely the Holy Spirit can speak to me and has and always does speak to me through my wife. And I need to be open to that. The moment that I say, well, I'm only going to hear from the Lord myself, that's dangerous. I think that's dangerous. I think that there's a lack of accountability in that sense. I think you want to be open. Now, in terms of real directional leading, most of the time, the Lord will speak to me and then confirm it to Kenda. But there are occasions where the Lord will speak to her. Yeah. It will come to me. And this is the exception rather than the rule, in a directional decision. And then I'll be confirmed in that too. But that's more of the exception rather than the rule. I hope that makes sense. About 75% of the time, the Lord is speaking to me about directional things. But in terms of our character building and like into our own personal lives, we speak to each other regularly about all kinds of stuff. And let me tell you, she can tell me a lot more about the issues that I have than anybody because she knows me better than you.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm being told that we got to wrap it up. So, you want to give some 2 cents real quick?
Yeah, just really quick. I think it's been mentioned a couple of times, but you know, like the idea of, you know, can I listen to my wife when she has insight into biblical truth or whatever? I don't think it should ever be a competition of who's smarter, because if that was the case in my marriage, we would be, I mean, she is naturally smarter than me, just It was her. I know. It's just, I came to the realization she's smarter than me. And I have to deal with it, you know? She's
quicker. You're just saying what we were all thinking.
Correct, yeah. I mean, I have to study a lot longer to get things that she comes up on a, just like that. I'm like, where did that come from, you know? And it's just, well, it's her relationship with the Lord. And it's also God-given aptitude that she has. And I just have to accept it and say, okay, she's got it. And I don't necessarily got it, you know? And it's okay, because it's not a competition. It's not a race. It's not, I mean, if I can take one section of scripture and understand it, man, I'm doing good, you know? Like I was saying, it should never be a competition. But like John was saying, when it comes to direction, I'm listening to the Lord, and we're not going to move until I hear from the Lord on an issue, you know, whether it's from her or whatever, or if she feels like something, I still have to say, well, we're going to go this way and push this way as the Lord's leading kind of thing. And so you kind of have to differentiate between the two and say, I give up. I realize you're smarter than me, but you still got to follow as I'm led by the Lord, you know.
Real quick. Melissa, if what it really comes down to, I think, is that do you trust the Lord to speak and to lead your husband? And that's what it comes down to, because you may have insight sometimes. You may know something or see something down the line that he doesn't see, but ultimately he is the head of your home. He's the head of your family, and it comes down to your trust in the Lord, not even necessarily your husband. You trust your husband, but mostly you trust your husband because you can trust the Lord, because God's faithful. And if you look at Rebecca and Isaac, or Abraham and Sarah, and they went through these things where she had to trust the Lord, not necessarily her husband, and God took care of her, and God provided, and God made a way out. But it really comes down to your trust and your faith in the Lord rather than you knowing something or, you know, feeling like he's not listening to you, like, because God will speak to him.
And I would just remind you that the Lord Jesus is the one who washes us with the water of the word. So the way you posed the question was, is it my husband that is supposed to be washing me? Can't I wash him as well? And the question is based on a misconception of the text again. The text is about Jesus washing both of you, right? So the Lord Jesus is supposed to wash both of you with the water of the word. And so that when you guys are spending time in the word together, well, if there is a disagreement over what the word says and means, well, great time for mediation, maybe. Definitely time for prayer. But then maybe there's a balance in between the two points of views that you guys are supposed to arrive at, right? So rather than taking your side and their side and let's fight about this, you know, is there a balance in between these two positions that actually makes more sense? That's one of the beautiful things that I see in marriage, is that Brenda's so different from me in every single way possible, you know, and I'm very different from her. And so, you know, oftentimes our two opinions are ways for us to find a balance that makes the relationship better than individually we were before, right? Does that make sense? Awesome. Well, that's the time we have. I would love to hear more questions and give more answers, but we've got people that need to wrap things up and get the church, you know, back in order for service tomorrow. So first of all, let me just ask you guys to give a round of applause for everyone one that helped to put this thing together. I mean, there's so much work. Yeah. You know, from the media team to the worship to, you know, the people that created, you know, displays and put, you know, really crappy bikes on stage. And I mean, this chain is about to fall off, by the way. And whoever owns these bikes, I need to talk to you about bike maintenance. But that's later. We'll deal with that later. But just, you know, so many people here at Calvary South Austin work so hard and are going to continue working into the night, you know, to get this church back in order. So I just wanted to extend my appreciation to everyone that has been working so hard to make this event happen. I hope you're blessed by it. Listen, if your marriage is suffering and you're on the verge of just walking away from that relationship, if you're throwing that divorce word around, please take that final study to heart and get mediation. Go to your pastor, even if you have an issue with them. You know, sometimes couples will say, well, I can't talk to my pastor because, you know, I'm mad at them, you know. Well, get over it, you know. I mean, the reality is that if your marriage is falling apart, the pastor that God has given you is there to help you work through those issues. And don't let your life continue to spiral out of control because maybe you got offended at some point in time. We got to learn how to forgive one another, press forward, and seek the help that we need. So mediation, being that final study, is so important if your marriage is heading down the tubes. Don't let it fall apart because of pride. And I just encourage you to seek the help that you need before the wedge is too, you know, that has done too much destruction in the relationship. Get help before you allow the enemy to rip you off with divorce. With that, guys, God bless you. I'm so thankful that you all showed up. Have a safe trip home.